Lord, we just give you praise. We thank you, Lord. We are in awe of you and all that you do, your mercy and your grace in our lives. We thank you that you forgive our sins and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, O God, and that we can come boldly to your throne of grace and we can proclaim your word. And God, we thank you that the promises and the blessings of God are for us. And we just give you praise and glory. Continue to work in our lives. Don't give up on us, God. Just continue to work in us that we would strive closer to you, that we would draw near to you, O God. As we study your word today, challenge us today in our prayer lives, God, as we get our priorities straight in prayer and we continue to pray and lift up those things that need to be prayed over. And God, we just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 So I am going to share with you a word this morning. I feel like we first I want to pray for someone. Bama, what's your friend's name again? JB. So we remember a few weeks ago we showed a video of a football player that had gotten hurt at Sac State, played football there. He's a linebacker. And so this morning they're making a decision. Again, they've come to the crossroads of another decision to take him off of life support again. And so so far they have stayed off doing that. I've been glad about that because he went in and while in surgery, he lapsed into a coma. And so they're not really sure what's happened, why he did that. For the reason he went in, he shouldn't be in the condition he's in for what he went in for. So they're not really sure what's going on. The injury that he sustained on the field was not, at least in all appearances, was not what caused this to happen. When the injury caused him to go in for surgery, but then during the surgery process, something abnormal happened and he's been in a coma ever since. So, and they've had him on life support. So today they're thinking again about taking off. It seems like every week or every 2 weeks they come to this crossroads and pray about whether they're going to do it. So I just want to lift up JB's family to you, if you guys will lift them up together with me this morning before we get started to pray for him. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. What an agonizing decision this must be for the family. But Father, we know that JB is in your hands. He knew you before this incident happened. He was well acquainted with the Lord Jesus. And so Father, right now, we just lift up JB to you and we pray for a miracle of your healing power to just come in. We don't know all the physical ailments that are going on in his body, but Father, you're aware of every single thing that's going on in his body right now. And Father, we pray for guidance for the family. We pray for a miracle in JB's life that you would completely, totally restore him and heal him in the name of Jesus. We pray for comfort and peace to the family on whatever decision that they make. Father, that they would know that it is of you and a decision that you would make. Do not allow, Father, the doctors to force them into a decision they're not comfortable with. I pray that the peace of God would rest on that family and wisdom would come to them and they would know in their hearts what they're to do and that God, that you would honor their faithfulness to you and touch and minister to that life. And God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We lift this whole situation up to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we just pray for miracle power to be manifested in that hospital room right now in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to talk to you this morning. The title of my message is We the People Taking Our Stand. We the People. You know, this is not my notes, but I'm just going to get started here because we the people of the United States of America have a great responsibility as believers to pray for our nation, for our leaders, for all that are in authority over us. We have a great responsibility to pray for those things. And when we lack in those areas of responsibility, in those areas of, when we lack in those areas of responsibility, it's the silver one in there. When we lack in those areas of responsibility, what happens is that the enemy gets a chance to begin to move in our nation and in our place and in our world. And so in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For not all have faith." Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that not all have the same faith as you? I think everybody has faith. They just have, some people have faith in just the wrong things. Or they have a strong faith in no faith. They just can't believe anything. But you know, I see, things going on. Especially in this current political climate that we're in. Oh my goodness. I just cannot believe. Well, I guess I can, cause I see it every time that it's just so okay to lie. And then we just, oh, okay. It's just, well, they all do it. So it's just part of, oh my goodness, man. We need to be praying for honest men to serve with us and to serve us. And try and remember. And, you know, I come from kind of an old school thinking that we, the people, are in charge and the government works for us. I know it's an old, out of date, old fashioned kind of concept, but it is what it is. Okay. It is not that the government tells us how to live. We tell the government how to operate and what parts of our lives to stay out of. And I am a strong advocate and do whatever you want. You know what I mean? I am. I mean, there's going to be a consequence for whatever you want, and there's going to be some laws that are going to govern how you act and do your certain things. But I mean, in the privacy of your own home, if you just want to be really stupid, go ahead. But don't come out and start trying to make me be stupid with you. And I just get so frustrated sometimes. When I think about just some of the stuff that's being said, I shouldn't say this part, but I'm gonna anyways. Okay, I've been thinking about this the last few weeks. I really think that this is what it's gonna come down to. Okay, because one guy says, I want to widen the base. I want to put more people back to work. So I want to widen our tax base. Rather than tax those that are working more to pay for those that are not working, what I want to do is I want to widen the base and put more people back to work. Okay? The other guy says, look, what I want to do is I want to tax whoever's working more so we can pay for all the people that don't want to work. Okay? All right. And so these are our two choices. Okay. Now here's the problem. About 47% of the people out there are lazy. And they're not working. And they're on the dole in some way. And now what do you mean by on the dole? The government is giving them something. Food stamps, welfare, and I'm not against any of those policies. Okay. I'm not against welfare. We were at one time on welfare and we needed it. It was a thing. We've been on unemployment before and we needed it. Okay. But we didn't stay there. 99 weeks of unemployment. Are you kidding me? That's almost 2 years. I get used to being lazy after 2 years. 99 weeks is almost 2 years, right? Yeah. 99 weeks is almost 2 years. I know people that want a t-shirt because they made it all 99 weeks. It's like, I want a t-shirt that says I'm part of the 99 week people. Listen, this is what people are going to vote on. I think they're going to vote on whether they want to go back to work or not. They're going to get in the box and they're going to say, you know what? If I vote for this guy, he's going to make me go back to work. If I vote for this guy, I can stay on the dole. I can keep getting more money. Other people will work and I'll get money. It's this mentality that is sunken into America that everyone, that especially this new generation of people that think they deserve things, like everything is supposed to be given to them. And it's not that way. Our fathers before that, our forefathers, they worked for a living. We work for a living. Listen, if I don't work, I don't eat. Okay? And believe me, we think of creative ways to eat. We think of creative ways to work. And I know some of you are in that same boat, that there are places where you can go and you can get a bag of groceries and you use those things. And that's all good stuff. I'm not against that. I'm not against a helping hand. I'm not against helping someone, but there's an old adage that says that you can give a guy a fish for the rest of his life, or feed him every day, or you can teach him to fish, teach him how to fish so that he can go out and get his own food. And I really think we have to get back to that kind of philosophy and thinking. When we pray, and so we need to get back to beginning to pray. And pray for our country and pray for our leaders and pray for people in authority. And what I think I'm going to surprise you with some of the stuff that I'm going to share with you today about this. Because listen, when we pray, we will deliver us from unreasonable men. That's what the Bible says. We'll be delivered from unreasonable men in every area of our nation so that the Word of God will have its free course. We want the Word of God to move forward and to move out in an incredible way and spread across this country. If more people followed the Christian principles of life, this country would be way better off. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care if they followed the very principles. Someone asked me the other day, you know, I saw a bumper sticker or a little sticker that said, I'd rather have a Mormon than a moron. Because some people have asked me, how could you possibly vote for a Mormon? Listen, there's been Catholics, Baptists, there's been all kinds of people. We got a Muslim in there now. So I'm not necessarily voting for a guy because of his denomination. But what I am looking for is a moral character that is more representative of what I believe. Does that make sense? And so I'm not telling you who to vote for, but you should be voting for someone that has the same moral character and fiber within his body that you have. And you shouldn't be voting against killing people. Oh, and listen. Okay. Here's one of the problems within the church today. Too many pastors are afraid to talk about what I'm talking about right now from their pulpits. And the reason they're afraid to do that is because they're afraid the IRS is going to come in and take away their giving things. Well, and the IRS is going to come mess with them and do all those things. And that's probably true. I mean, we'll probably be closed next week because the IRS will come by. Who knows? But this is what happened. See, back in the beginning, when we first started this whole thing, and we wrote the Constitution, and we put the whole thing together, okay, here's what the idea was. Our founding fathers had three areas of government, okay? They had three areas of government, and they were supposed to watch over each other and keep an eye on each other. And sitting above all three of those areas of government was one group, one entity that was to speak into the government on a regular basis and keep them in line with the Word of God. And it was the church. And that's why there's a letter that's written that says that there needs to be a separation between the church and the states. And the reason there needs to be a separation is not so the states can overrun the church, but so that the church can stand in their pulpits, pastors can stand in their pulpits, preach the Word of God, and hold people accountable to the Word of God. Because the moral standard that is laid out, now that doesn't mean that everybody up in Washington has to be a Christian, but there should be a moral fiber based on the Bible that keeps those guys structurally sound. But when you take the Bible out, now this is what happened. Is the government said, man, these preachers are pounding us. We can never get away with anything. So what we need to do is we need to start changing people's interpretation. So what did they do? They went back and they started young and they started telling us when we were in grade school, when we were learning about history, the separation of church and state is that the church is not supposed to have anything to do with the state. They started reversing it. And then pretty soon, a generation and then a generation goes by, and next thing you know, now we got a bunch of people that think, well, what about separation of church and state? The church really shouldn't get involved in those things. Nonsense. That's not what it was written for. That's wrong. So now they have free reign. So what? There's no Bible in schools, and they're a mess. There's no Bible in our government, and it's a mess. Well, Pastor, you think everybody should follow the Bible? Yes, I do, actually. I think it would be a great thing. Did you know that in the beginning, Congress would allocate funds that would come in for the spreading of the gospel, to buy Bibles, to spread throughout the United States? Congress did that. Congress had church in their hall every Sunday. Not just a prayer every now and then by some person that doesn't invoke any name except for all of them. I'm just telling you, if you historically look at this thing, we are a Christian nation. And what has happened is we have given up our authority as believers and stood in the sidelines and allowed things to manifest around us with the thought that we should do nothing about it, that we should not pray into that situation or speak into that situation. And it is incorrect. The most important reason God wants us to pray for our leaders of nations is so that the gospel can be preached and people can be delivered from the kingdom of darkness. What we don't understand, when they began to change this philosophy about church, the separation of church and state, and they began to change the meaning of what that was, what great effect that would have. The great effect that that would have is that the gospel has been slowed down. It has been stymied. Okay? And you may say, well, in America, lots of people know. Yes, they do, but lots of people still don't know. In other nations around the world, when the gospel is free to be preached by the leaders, and the leaders say, hey, come in, preach the gospel, the gospel spreads like wildfire through that area, changes, transforms entire societies. Okay? I know of an example of this, and it's some friends of mine from the Marshallese Islands. Okay? Now, when we were in Reno, we had a Marshallese pastor with us, and his son-in-law was actually a prince. His father was one of the seven kings in the Marshall Islands. Okay? And so he is in line. He's the direct descendant of the king. He will eventually someday, he's still here in the United States, but he will eventually someday go back home and be the king when his father passes. Okay, he'll be the king of part of the Marshall Islands. Now, it was his grandfather who allowed the gospel to come into the Marshall Islands. Okay? Now, those were not the first missionaries ever to come to the Marshall Islands. The first few that went got ate because they were cannibals. They ate them. They came preaching the gospel. They got eaten. Then somebody came again. The king listened to him and they said, all of my people will be Christians. And they all became Christians. Because the king said so. So the gospel spread. Now there's Marshallese churches all over the United States. As they've stopped eating people and they came over here and started hanging out. And they do eat well. Man, when they have a banquet, woo-hoo, something else. Those folks are still our very good friends. We stay in contact with them on Facebook and stuff. They're a great group of people, the Marshallese. We spent a lot of time with the Marshallese when we were there. Spoke at a couple of different events for them. One of the pastors came and used to go through all my old sermons and pull stuff out so he'd have stuff to preach because he liked what I taught on. So he wanted to know more, so he grabbed my sermons and go teach them. God's plans and purpose for the church to preach the gospel to every nation. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. And then the end will come. You see, when the authorities of a community are into the gospel or make an open door for the gospel, it spreads quickly through the community. But when those that are in authority are resistant to the gospel, it does not mean that the gospel doesn't go out into the community, but what it does mean is it is slowed down. The process for it to happen more quickly is slowed down. So the more we can get those in authority to be in agreement with the philosophy of the things of the Word of God, the faster we will see this country change. The faster we will see this our communities change. If we can get those that are in authority to begin to not, now they don't necessarily have to be believers, but they do have to be open to the spreading of the gospel, open to the services that the church brings. And the change that we can bring. And we do bring a change to a community when we come. A dramatic change. People get saved, lives get changed, murders go down, crime goes down, things go down when Christians are in prayer and God is in authority. Amen? This is the supernatural way, we render the devil's works inoperative around the world as we begin to spread the gospel all over. Now the gospel has been preached in all the nations, when the gospel is preached in all the nations, the Bible says the end shall come. So do you think the devil wants the end to come? No, because he knows he's through. He's read the end of the book. He knows he's in trouble, and the only way for him to keep things going is to get those in authority in agreement with him to stop us from preaching the gospel. Now you may say, well, Pastor, I'm going to preach the gospel no matter what. Great. But wouldn't you like to have a little more freedom in doing it? Wouldn't you like not to have to sneak around and tell people? Now I know you don't have to do that right now, but there's coming a day that you will have to sneak around to tell the gospel. I really believe that it is possible for a day to come in the United States when being a Christian could be deadly. That we could be rounded up and killed. Now, I'm not trying to scare anybody or be some sensational conspiracy theory guy, but I'm just telling you that eventually someone will just be mad enough to say, listen, these guys need to go. And if they're in authority, they get to do that. And so we need to pray against that kind of stuff. Therefore, Satan is trying to put up roadblocks and trying to prevent the gospel being preached to all the world. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In times of turmoil and war, it is difficult to spread the gospel. Believe me, if we were under martial law right now, in martial law where we were not allowed to just travel freely throughout the, most of us don't understand, if you've never been overseas, if you've never been to a third world country, okay, and you've never been to another part of the world, you don't get to just drive all over the place. Especially when I visited Russia, you couldn't just drive anywhere you wanted. You couldn't just, hey, let's go take a drive out to this part of the country. You can't do that. It takes papers, government. You got to go tell the government where you're driving to, what you're doing. You got to go through check stations where you got to show them your papers. Well, not anymore, Pastor. What are you talking about? Yes, you do. In Russia, you couldn't drive from Moscow to the other side of the country without showing papers. I don't even know if you could do it in Poland or any other country. I don't even know if you could do it in Europe very much. Because you're moving around from one place to another. I think you'd always have to have your passport with you. Now here, you can just get in the car and drive all the way over to the other side. Drive anywhere you want. There's no one going to stop you as long as you're not breaking the law. But there, they can just walk up and say, give me your stuff. Let me see why you're here. Why are you in this part of the country without a traveling visa? I'm just saying. I mean, everyone thinks, oh, it's, that could change here. State to state, area to area, you may have to do all that stuff. The devil is using unbelievers, those whose eyes are blind, to stir up trouble. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, those whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine on them. It's preventing, listen, you have a neighbor on the other side of you, and I don't mean this literally, but figuratively. You have a neighbor on one side of your neighbor trying to convince them that what you believe is crazy. And you're trying to help your neighbor the best way you can by being of service to them, by speaking kindly to them, by praying for them. You're doing everything you can in the right way you can to your neighbor, okay? In service to your neighbor, humbling yourself to try to help your neighbor get their lives back in order and according to the word of God. And you got somebody standing on the other side saying, that guy's a nut. Stay away from that guy. He's just trying to get you to go to church. He's just trying to get you all brainwashed. Do you know what the biggest brainwash in this country is? Anti-God people. They are flat out brainwashed. I mean, sometimes I think, how do you even think? I was talking to a lady the other day, and I explained to her, because here's my thought, okay? There was one time when one of the gentlemen said to the pointed at the other gentleman and said this. He said, is it right that he makes $20 million a year and gets taxed at 14%? And you, all of us out here, all of you out there, you get taxed at 28%. Okay, here's what I want us to think about. Let's put some nice, big, fat, round numbers on this, okay? So if he gets taxed at 14% on $20 million, he pays almost $3 million in taxes a year. $3 million. Okay? Now, if I make $50,000 a year and pay 28%, I pay about 15. And I know I don't pay 15 because I get all kinds of little breaks that allow me to go backwards a little. So I don't really pay 28. He really doesn't pay 14. But still, if we matched it up, out of mine, I'm paying 20. He's paying $2.3 million. And he's employing most of us so that we can pay. I mean, think about it. What's fair? Okay, the guy takes all the risk by employing you and me. Shouldn't he get, isn't almost $3 million a year enough? I mean, how much does the government want? Because I'm telling you, if you tax that guy at 50%, you're not going to have a job. He's going to close it up. I mean, I don't understand why people can't figure this out. I just don't get it. I'm like, what are you not thinking? Listen, not everybody gets to sign the front of the check. And the guy that signs the front of the check is the guy that takes all the risk. Despite what the president so eloquently said, it's not your business. You didn't build your own business. We built it for you. Okay, listen. He's the guy taking all the risk. If you want it, it's not rocket science. Listen, you want to sign the front of the check? Take the risk. You want to sign the front of the check? Take your own risk. Be like Bob right there. Start your own business and work your tail off every day. Build your own business. Have 8 or 9 employees. Listen, for a long time, that guy right there had, 5, 6 employees in your big roofing company? 20 employees. So he had 20 people, okay? 20 people working for him, okay? And so all those guys making $40,000, $50,000 a year, probably more, okay? All paying taxes, okay? And they want him to pay more. Well, not everybody else, but him. Because he's the one taking all the risk. He's the one that's got all the insurance. He's got all his house on the line. He's every day. And now, with the economy in the dumps right now, who's working hard? He's still working hard. Do you have 20 employees anymore? No. Where's your incentive to have an employee? With healthcare coming online, with more taxes coming online, I don't want to get into all this. Gosh, I'm sorry. It's too late. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have shared all that. It doesn't make any sense to me. We're not thinking, people. There's this monster out there right now that we've allowed to get way too big. That we've allowed to get so big that it's telling us what to do. And we, the people, have to take a stand. And it starts right here, right there, on our knees. With the authority of Jesus Christ and taking authority over those that are in authority over us. It starts with us praying and believing and starting to put the Word of God to work in our nation, in our cities, in our country, in our world. It starts with us. It starts with us beginning to bind up the enemies that would so deceive those men to think that they could just blatantly steal from all those that are working hard in America to make a living. It's up to us Christians whether or not the devil is successful in his strategies. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, Therefore I exhort first of all that all supplication, prayer, intercession be given and giving of thanks be made to all men, for kings and all who are and all who are in authority. We're to pray for those that are in authority. The Bible's it says to obey We are to obey the instructions, to pray for those in authority over the nations of this world. We can thwart Satan's plans and instead fulfill God's purpose on this earth. Do you know why we struggle as believers in the United States today? Because we're not on our knees praying for those in authority over us. We're allowing our own senseless, That's why I say over and over again, vote for biblical principles, life, the statute of marriage, okay? Vote for those principles. Stop voting for the economy. Stop voting because you get a paycheck every month from the government. Don't vote that way. The government is not helping. It's hurting. Christians have the authority, have been given authority to pray in Jesus' name and change the things in their country. No matter where we live, no matter what's going on, we can change our country. When we pray, when we give God permission to move and to rule in the situations instead of Satan, the god of this world, no matter what the situation is, if we will pray and give God authority over those things, when Christians stand in their place of delegated authority in Jesus' name and bring God brings his kingdom into effect, and we begin to destroy the work of the enemy. We are not fighting against the devil to get our authority. We already have our authority. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and through 20, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All authority has been given to Christ. He has said, "I am the head, you are the body. I give you the same authority that's been given to me. I give you that authority to trample on serpents, to walk in authority over those things." And so we begin to walk in authority, not because we won it over the devil, but because Christ gave it to us. So don't be waiting for some governmental organization to tell you that you now have the authority to pray. Pray! Begin to pray. When we take our stand in prayer, we are simply exercising our authority that we obtained from Jesus, and we are beginning to speak into the situation. As Christians, we have the authority to bind the power of the enemy in political scenes of our nation. We can bind them up. Listen, if you are contrary to the word of God and serving in this country as a governmental agent, we bind you in the name of Jesus. And we loose the power of God to not only change your heart and your mind, but this country for God's glory. We have the right to demand that Satan take his hands off our government and off of our economy and off of our social, off the social scenes of our nation. We do have the right to pray for that. We have the right to pray that we would be a prosperous nation. We have the right to pray that God's will would be done and God would be manifested in all these things and God would get the glory. We have the right to pray for those things. We should be praying for those things. We can bind every foul spirit that is affecting every area and command them to stop in their mischievous and just stop everything that they're doing. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 says, "Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." This is a clear example of heaven coming into agreement with our prayers as we pray the will of God. We will bind on earth and bind in heaven when you and I begin to pray the word of God, heaven comes into agreement with us. Whoo! You are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, pray your head off. You know what I'm saying? Listen, it's not you against the world. It's you and all of heaven's host. praying against the authorities that govern us right now. And we have been given authority to do that. John chapter 14, verse 13 and 14 says, "For whatever you ask in my name, I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." Satan's strategies against us on earth can be stopped in every encounter, and God's purposes can be fulfilled. God's purposes can be fulfilled. But it's you and me. That happens as Christians stand on the authority of Christ on behalf of the nation of the world and begin to pray for those in authority. We need to make a point of praying for those in authority in our nation. We need to pray for these people and events. We need to pray for our president. And not just that he gets assassinated. And I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that he should be. But I mean, I'm just saying, don't be praying that way. Pray, listen, the heart of our leaders is in the hand of God. And we're getting exactly what we deserve. We need to get on our knees and pray that the hand of God would touch the heart of our leaders. From our president, to our Congress, to our Supreme Court, to our state and local officials, to our military, to our intelligence agency. Poor Hillary Clinton. And I never thought I'd ever say that. Boy, I tell you, talk about taking one for the team and getting chucked under the bus. Oh my goodness. We need to pray for this upcoming presidential election, that the right man who is led by God will lead our nation. I'm praying that God's will be done in this election. And that we would humble ourselves and ask him to forgive our sins and of what we've gone through over, you know, just, I mean, we need to stop and we need to pray for those that are in authority over us. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says, "Therefore I exhort you, first of all, that supplication, prayer, intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Paul says to pray first of all for those in authority. Therefore, let's put first things first, so God and Satan have no dominion over our cities and nations. Before we pray for our families, let's pray first for those in authority. You know what will happen then? Then we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence or honesty. This way we can keep Satan from taking advantage of us. You know, here's the thing, which I think we failed in, is just like in our normal lives, we tend to be more people that are driven to prayer by crisis rather than preventive maintenance. We need to be praying for those that are in authority all the time at first. So I know we all got our prayer list. We all got stuff we've been praying about every day for the last 10 years or something. I don't know. We all got stuff we've been praying about. Some of us are praying for jobs. Amen. Some of us are praying for different, I mean, we got a lot of things we're praying about personally. Don't we? Amen. I know I do. Hey, listen, all my boys are out there right now. They're all very exposed to the world right now. My sons are in my prayers on a regular basis because they're all out there now. They're not at home anymore where I can protect them and watch over them. They're out there being exposed to the things of this world, and I'm praying that everything that we've taught them, everything that God has revealed to them, it keeps them strong and they stay in the things of God. That's what I'm praying for. I'm praying that the devil doesn't get a foothold in their lives. Amen? Do you know what I'm saying? So praying for your family, I'm not against that at all. But I'm saying, listen, this is what Scripture says right here. First of all, pray for those in authority. First of all, pray for them. So before we Before we start praying for our families and our own personal needs, let's start serving this nation and this world by praying for those that are in authority. Does that make sense? Let's get the order right. Let's pray for others first and then ourselves. Okay? I think that's what this scripture is talking about. Pray for the benefit of others. Pray and then pray for yourself. In this way, when you pray for others, when you're praying for those in authority, when you're praying for those that are out there, when you're praying those things, and I'm not praying, and like I said earlier, and I should use the wrong word there, the demise of those that are in authority, I should say. Don't pray for the demise of those that are in authority. Pray that those that are in authority would get a clue about the power of God, and God would touch their hearts and change their lives. Okay? Pray that the will of God would begin to be done in not only this country, but in every country. That the gospel would spread like wildfire. And the way the gospel is going to spread like wildfire throughout the entire earth is when everyone in authority is in agreement that God is a good thing and not a bad thing. And so we need to begin to pray that they would get a vision of who God is and a vision that God, that the things of God are good and not bad. That they are not going to stop your country from growing, but they're going to expand your country. It's going to multiply your country. Your country will be a greater country if it has God at the head. Amen? That's what I'm saying. And so we need to pray. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, lest Satan should take advantage of us. And we are not ignorant of his devices. He will come in. He will try to get us to stop praying. But listen, we have the authority to pray for our country. We'll be more effective over the power of darkness when we take our rightful place in Christ. Base our prayers securely on the Word of God and put first things first. People, we have talked about this for the last several months, being people of prayer, people of faith, believing God, trusting in His Word, staying in the Word of God. Well, I shouldn't say we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. We've been talking about that since I've been here for the last 7 years. Because that's really what it's all about, is you and me having the faith to believe that God is true and that His Word is true and that His Word will come to pass in our lives, okay? And so part of the thing that we have to do as believers, and I know this, you know, my wife said, wow, this is a very timely message, honey, because we're going to vote in a couple of weeks. We need to be praying for this upcoming election, okay? And you need to vote. And you need to vote for what? Life. There's a thing out there, a little newspaper thing out there. Grab that, read through it. It'll tell you the pros and who's for, who's against, all that kind of stuff. Grab one of those before you leave. Make sure you have it. Fill out your ballots. Get them turned in. Exercise your free, sovereign right to vote. Don't sit at home. Listen. Don't you come complain to me after this thing's over if you didn't vote. I'll listen to you if you voted. Only for a little while. Listen, we need to vote. We need to pray for those in authority, no matter who it is. No matter what the outcome of this election, we need to be on our knees praying that God would grab hold of the hearts of those that are in leadership around us. Because that's where it starts. That's where it finishes. That's where it's going to make a difference, is when we as believers, as Christians, we'll get on our knees and begin to pray. We'll get on our knees and begin to cry out. Before we start crying out for anything else, say, okay, God, first of all, I want to pray for my president and I want to pray for my governor. And boy, do we need to pray for our governor. And we want to pray for not only our federal government in Congress, but we want to pray for our state government in Congress. We want your will to be done. We want you to begin to manifest your presence in the midst of them, so that we would see your will being done in California. Wouldn't it be great if California was a godly place? Wouldn't it be great if we returned to some of the, because listen, the freedom for us to share the gospel and be Christians it needs to be rebirthed in this country. It's almost wrong for us to be Christians these days. And that's only happened over the last 60 years. Before that, it was very much a good thing to be a Christian. And now it's almost like, oh, yeah, well, you know, we don't want to be one of them. Well, you know, part of that is our own fault because we hit our heads in the sand and we allowed things to change. But we need to get our heads out of the sand, begin to pray for those that are in authority over us. Amen? And you have the right to do it. So begin to pray. Begin to ask God to move and manifest himself. You don't have to be necessarily as specific as, you know, pass this, don't pass this. Although some things need to be not passed, but we'll tell you about those later. But what we do need to do is pray that God's will be done in our nation. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this challenging message this morning to put our governments, our people in authority ahead of our own prayers. And God, we just pray right now for those that are in authority over our nation. We pray for our current president. We pray for the next president, whoever that might be. We pray. There are so many social and economic problems in our country. But Father, we pray that the next person that would represent this country would be a person that is for life, that the sanctity of life would become a crucial issue again in this country. And we as believers would rise up and see the laws change in this area, so that we would save lives and not lose them in this area. Father, we pray for all of our military and those that are protecting us around the world and our freedoms around the world, that you would be with them, that you would touch and minister to them. We pray for their leaders that are leading them in the battlefields around the world, that you would protect them and lead them and guide them. Father, we pray for our congresses, both nationally and or federally and in our own state. God, touch them, minister to them. Pray for our governor, minister to that guy. Touch him, God. His heart is in your hand. So God, you begin to do a great work there. And God, we just pray for a transformation of our city council here in Citrus Heights and all the police officers that serve us here in Citrus Heights. We pray for them. We pray that your blessing would be on them. Protect the police officers, those that are in the fire departments from injury, that they would be safe each day. And God, we pray for those that sit on the city council at Citrus Heights, that their minds would be on allowing the gospel to be spread within the community, that they would see that wherever there's a church, that we go out to eat afterwards, and that businesses grow and prosper in the areas that we're in, and that we're able to bring a good and a faithful and a strong moral base into this community. So Father, we pray that doors would begin to open, and that this community would begin to change for your glory. Father, we give you praise. We thank you for all these things and those that I've forgotten to mention right now. God, just be with our leaders, God. Help them. Help them, God, to make good, godly decisions. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. Now, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, or you've drifted from that relationship, if you'll slip your hand up, we want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you. Amen. 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 Lord, I just pray for all those that are here today. I hope this message wasn't too tough and too political. Forgive me, Mr. IRS man. God, touch and bless our nation. Touch and bless our state and our city. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.